Torah Kuf Ches in Likutei Moran. Rabbi Nachman bases this on a pasuk in Tehillim, Zivche Elokim Ruach Nishbora. A heavenly sacrifice is a broken spirit. Broken spirit here doesn't mean in any negative way, it means in a positive way. A person who's standing before Hashem with tremendous humility, feeling small, feeling low. Okay, as a side note maybe, it's brought the Gemara says, that this quality of Ruach Nishbara is so special that a person gets credit as if he brought all of the different sacrifices put together. That's why it says Zivchei, plural. Zivchei Elikim, all the sacrifices of Hashem are credited to a person who has Ruach Nishbara. But now Rabbeinu Zal is going to work on a different channel. Hine Yodua, it's known in the Medrash that Ki Oila Bo'o al hirhur halev, that the korban oila, which is one of the very important sacrifices that was brought in the Beis Hamikdash, we know that there was a daily oila that was both in the morning and in the afternoon, the oila stomid, and there were other korban oilas that were brought. Oila means a burnt offering, with the entire sacrifice. None of the flesh is eaten, not by the one who brings the sacrifice, not by the Kohanim, all of it is burnt on the Mizbeach. It's only the hide of the animal that's given to the Kohanim. But other than that, all the flesh and everything is burnt on the Mizbeach. So the Medrash tells us that the Korban Oila is brought to atone for sinful thoughts. K'moy Shekosuv, as it says in a Pasuk, Ho'oile al Ruchachom. That which your spirit entertains, like you think of doing, something that you think of doing. Hainu, she'oila bo al hirhurei halev, which means that a korban oila comes for something that a person thought to do. She'shom mishkan haruach. It's the thoughts in a person's heart, and we know that the heart is the residence of the spirit. The heart and the brain together are where the thoughts of a person are entertained. We know there are many psukim ki yetzer machshevois liboi. The Torah uses the term machshava for the brain, and it uses it also for the heart. Ve'eina shem yisborach mitzarif machshava lemaisa bar mehirhurei akum. We know there's another rule that the Gemara tells us, that by Jews, when a Jew has a good thought, he wants to do a mitzvah, and he doesn't actually get to execute it. He gets credit to a degree as if he actually performed the mitzvah. But if a person thinks of doing a sin, Hashem does not count the thought of committing a sin as if the person did it, except Ve'eina shem yisborach metzarif machshov olamaisa bar mehirhurei akum. The Gemara in Kiddushin learns out from Psukim that it's only regarding thoughts of idol worship that by a Jew, Hashem considers the thought as if chas v'shalom the person committed the action. V'hirhur akum shayech etzel kol adam. And idolatrous thoughts can apply to any person. Why? Hainu, Rabbeinu Zal gives an interesting example. Hainu mashem maschil lehispalel bedveikus. It could be referring to a person who starts a prayer to Hashem with deep devotion to Hashem, concentrating, putting everything they have into it. Oy mizboide desatzmoi. Or the person secludes himself in personal prayer. Ube'emtza hatfilo yahispoiditus noifel mi madrigosoi. And in middle of the prayer, or in middle of the hispoiditus, the person disconnects. They disconnect from Hashem. They fall from that level they were on before. Ze bechinas hirhurei akum. That also is classified as idolatrous thoughts. We know there's the famous quote from the Baal Shem Tov, where the Baal Shem Tov says on what we say in Kriya Shema, Visartem, you will turn away from Hashem, Vavadatem alekim acherim, you'll be worshipping idols. And the Baal Shem Tov says that the slightest turn away from Hashem is a turn in the direction of idolatry, chas v'sholem. Ki kol hanefilois boim achmas kilkul hu emuna. Because all spiritual declines are the result of a weakening of the person's faith. Ukishen eskalkel hu emuna, and when the faith becomes weak, nimtzo machzir ponov me Hashem yisborach. It's as if the person is turning his face away from Hashem. Kamei shekosuv, as it says in Yeshaya Novi, nozoiru ocher. They turn their backs on Hashem. Vashem yisborach gam kein master ponov mimenu. When a person turns away from Hashem, Hashem turns away from that person. Nimtza shehu ocher ba'ocher. And at that point, the person's relationship with Hashem is described as back to back. We've both turned our backs on each other, chas v'shalom. Now we know the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, even the Gemara mentions, according to one opinion, that when Adam and Chava were originally created, they were created as Siamese twins, back to back, connected at the back. And then in order for them to be able to procreate, Hashem had to slice them apart, sever them apart, in order to enable them to face each other, to be able to unite. So now Rabbeinu Zal says, so when this happens, when person falls in their faith in Hashem, and they fall into an aspect of idolatrous thoughts, tzorech lehovi al ze oila, they have to bring a korban oila for this. Ubechinas oilohu kishemeshaber es ruchoi bekirboi. And we saw earlier that one of the ways that a person gets credit for bringing a korban oila is when the person has this broken spirit, this broken heart. Umizbayesh, the person feels ashamed. V'choysher biatzmoy, and the person thinks to himself, Eich nofalti, how did I allow myself to fall? V'nishlachti mishomayim lo'oretz, and I was thrown down, I fell down from heaven to earth. Shehoyisi b'mokom govoya kozeh, I was in such a high place, I was feeling so connected to Hashem. V'achshov nofalti, and now I fell, v'herzarti ponai me Hashem yisborach. And chas v'shalom, it's as if I turned my face away from Hashem, v'nisharti ochor b'ochor, and I remained in this state of back-to-back. Umerachim al atzmoy, and when the person realizes that, the person has pity on themselves. Ki ein rachmonus gedoyla mizu, because there's no greater pity than this. Vitzorich loze nesira, and in order to correct this, this requires a severing, a slicing apart. Kemoy shehoya etzel Adam Arishon, as we're told, happened to Adam and Chava. Shenivru du partzufin, ocher bocher, they were created as two figures, back to back, connected, attached at the back. V'acharkach, and afterwards, ninsar, they were sliced apart. V'hoyoponim beponim, so that they could turn around and unite face to face. V'hanesira, this term nesira is the term that's used in the writings of the Arizal. The Arizal speaks about this regarding Rosh Hashanah, that this process is reenacted every year on the birthday of Adam HaRishon, which is Rosh Hashanah. So the term nesira is used, and there's another word in Hebrew which means to slice, which is the word lachatoch. Chatach means to slice. V'hanesira hu bechinas chatach. Slicing in Hebrew is also the term chatach. K'moy shekosuv bekavonois, as is written in the writings of the Arizal, on the pasuk that we recite every single day, where we say, Poiseach es yodecho, Hashem, open your hands and provide us with sustenance, with health, with everything that we need, with blessing. So the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that the last letters of the words, Poiseach es yodecho, soifei tevois chatach. The last letters spell this word, which is actually the name of the angel who is appointed over Parnassa. Hainu, Shechoitech umenaser esatzmoi. In other words, the person has to sever and separate himself. Vahashem chatach nase al yidei shemeshaberes liboi. And the way that a Jew generates this name of this angel, this holy name, is by breaking his heart, breaking his spirit, meaning humbling himself, feeling embarrassed, ashamed. Ki kimeshaber es liboy, because when a person breaks his heart, bevadai me'aneach, that goes together with sighing. When a person's really feeling broken, then one of the ways that they express it is by a deep sigh. The person takes a deep, deep breath in and releases it slowly with an oi. That expression, which is anocha, which is something that the Gemara speaks about in several places. As we'll see now, Rabbeinu Zal is going to quote it. And Rabbeinu Zal mentions it in several chapters in Likutei Moran. Moitzi umachnis ruach. When a person does this sigh, it's a two-step procedure. It's taking in air, taking in a deep breath, and releasing that deep breath. V'hu train ruchin. That's two ruachs. U'shnei pa'amim ruach, gematria chatach. The word ruach has a numerical value of 214. Two times ruach is 428, which is the name of this angel, chatach, which means this process of slicing apart, separating. V'ze b'chinas nesira. This is that slicing apart. In other words, severing that back-to-back connection with Hashem and allowing Hashem and ourselves to turn around again and face each other. Ubo el b'chinas ponim b'ponim. And to arrive at the state of face-to-face in a relationship with Hashem. V'ze b'chinas oila. And this is all included in this Korban Oila that we said. Zivche Elokim, Ruach Nishbara, again, refers to the Korban Oila, which a Jew is credited when he has this humility, when he feels ashamed and embarrassed that he fell in his faith in Hashem and devotion to Hashem and wants to correct it. Vizehu, and this is included in the Pasuk, Zivche Elokim, a sacrifice to Hashem, Hainu b'chinas oila, and it's referring there to the korban oila, hu ruach nishbara, is a broken ruach, as we said before. Baruch Hashem. This is the chapter in Likutei Moran. Rav Nosson Zal just adds a comment here that misimen ayin gimel, from chapter 73, which was entitled Ki Savur Bamayim Itchoni, Ad Kan, until here, until chapter 108, was all Loshen Chaverim. These were all shiurim which Rav Nosson Zal was not present for. He received the notes of his friends. Gam yesh bohem kama dvorim ktanim shenemru kodom Eretz Yisrael. And there are also several small items that Rabbi Nachman mentioned in shiurim before his trip to Eretz Yisrael. Val pi horoiv, and in majority of these chapters, haloshoin einoi mesukon klal. The wording is not really organized properly. At shebekama mekoimois koshe lamoid ala mechuvon, to the point where in many places, it's hard to really understand what the focus is. How am I supposed to apply this? And we know that Rabbeinu Zal emphasized that tremendously, that the main purpose of learning Torah is to get guidance, to know what to do. What's the practical application of what I'm learning? Wherever I found it possible to correct, tikanti ktsas, I corrected a little bit. Vashar heinachti kamoi shehu, and the rest I left the way it is. Ki haloshoin eich shehu, because the wording, even with its imperfections, yoytse mehem al kol ponim divrei musar harbe, you can still derive from it a lot of musar, v'hakdomois niflois, and awesome introductions that are needed to come close to Hashem, to come close to the Torah, v'etzois noirois, and awesome advice, l'hiskare veil of Yisbora, to come close to Hashem. Any questions on this Torah before we continue, please?
Rabbi, Rabbi Maim in Yehuda says, I was wondering if Hashem was in charge of Parnassa.
If Hashem is in charge of Parnassa.
Definitely, definitely. Hashem is in charge of everything and over all the angels. Sometimes there are certain instances where angels participate to a degree in carrying out, acting as messengers of Hashem, and sometimes not. But even in the cases where angels are involved, we have the option to override them through our prayers and to affect them in a major way through our prayers.
Question?
Please.
Was the image of the breath used just as an example, or was it actually supposed to be a recipe for a meditation device?
I'm very happy you asked that. No, it's not just a recipe. This is something that Rabbi Nachman mentions, I said, in several chapters in Likud Imran, where he goes into it more and elaborates that this is a very important aspect of a person's prayer that should be used in prayer, and even besides prayer, that when a Jew does this as an expression of feeling brokenhearted and expressing a yearning towards Hashem, a yearning for wanting to be better and wanting things to be better, this is a very high form of devotion to Hashem. This anocha, this deep sigh, taking in this deep breath and giving it out with a strong expression. The next chapter that we have now is going to go into it deeper and more elaborately. You'll see. Stay tuned. Okay. Let's begin. Chapter 109. This is based on a pasuk in Koheles, chapter 8. Shlomo HaMelech says, Yesh hevel asher nasa al ha'aretz. There is a vanity. The word hevel has several definitions. Hevel sometimes is used to mean vain and vanity that happens on earth. Asher yesh tzadikim shemagi aleim kemase rishoim, whereby there are very good people where things happen to them that you would think should really be happening to wicked people, and also vice versa. There are wicked people who seem to be being treated as if they were very righteous people. Rabbi Nassal says, we know that the word hevel means vanity, but the word hevel also means breath. A person, the breath coming out of a person's mouth. It's called hevel peh. Rabbi Nassal says, pirush hevel, one of the ways where we can explain the word hevel here is, hainu hevel peh hayoytse mehagoroin. The breath that comes out of the throat, migenuche de kogonach, from the deep sighs that a person sighs, kol echod lefierkoi, each and every person, according to their level, according to what they're sighing about, what they're expressing their remorse or about. Tzadikim yelchu, upoishim yikoshlu. We know the pasuk says tzadikim will go, and sinners will stumble, as the pasuk says in Hosea. And now he's going to elaborate and explain this. Yesh rosho kol yomov. Sometimes you can have a person who lived their whole life as a wicked person, committing all kinds of sins regarding their relationship with Hashem, regarding their relationship with their fellow man. Umesanech v'no al he'ovor. And the person sighs and groans over their past, expressing like remorse, feeling terrible about their past. V'yesh chas v'shalom tzadik meikoroi. And sometimes you have a person who was born religious, was born very and raised religious. V'soye al harishonos. And they come to a certain point where they're sighing and bemoaning, feeling terrible that they were born and raised religious. Why couldn't they have a fun life like people who grow up without religion at all? V'no umesanech gamkein. And that person is also sighing deeply and expressing how bad they feel that they missed out on all the fun and games. V'hine yesh shnei chavolim. Don't read, look at the letters carefully. Hevel and chevel, there are two ropes. The word chevel means a rope. Chevel Digdusha, there's a rope, a holy rope, Ukenegdoi de Tuma, and opposite it, there's an impure rope. Vahabechira Chavshis, and Hashem created the world with free choice. Mi Shemekadeshatzmoi, a person who sanctifies himself, who purifies himself, who tries to improve as a human being in their relationship with their fellow man, in their relationship with Hashem, Mekasher Atzmoi Bechevel Digdusha. That person attaches themselves to the holy rope. Ulehepech, Chas V'Shalom, and the opposite is true, Mi Shemetame Atzmoi, a person who lives a life of sin, Mekasher Atzmoi Bechevel Detuma. That person binds themselves, attaches themselves to the rope of impurity. Vehine, hanoya v'ho anocha, groaning and sighing, hu bechinas misa beguf for nefesh, is a form of accepting death upon oneself physically and spiritually, both in body and in spirit. Beguf, regarding the body, K'may Shom Rabbi Seinazal, the Gemara says clearly in Brachas, page 58, there are two opinions there in the Gemara. And one of the opinions says, Anocha Shoiveres Gufoi Shalotam, that sighing breaks the person's whole body. When a person gives a deep, deep sigh, it's like they have no energy. All the breath comes out of them. The one opinion says it breaks half the body. The other rabbi, I believe Rabbi Yochanan, says it breaks the body, the entire body. Ubenefesh gamkein, and regarding the soul also, we can say that sighing is a form of experiencing death. Ki yodua mashikosav, we know what the pasuk says in Tehillim, chapter 104, toisef rucham yigvoyun, that ki koidem hamisa, right before a person is about to pass away, usually, nitoisef rucham, they get additional breath, they get additional spirit, additional life. They seem to be coming back to life. And many people are fooled when that happens. They think that the person, wow, the person's getting better. And they don't know that that's actually a sign that the death of the person is very close. This is a very important pasuk that's quoted in the Gemara and in many Sforim, Toisef Rucham Yigvoyun, that the additional Ruach implies Yigvoyun, that they're going to pass away. So here again, when a person takes this deep sigh, they're taking in an extra, extra large breath, but it's something that's not giving the person strength. They're not using this to do bodybuilding or weightlifting. This is when they release that sigh, the person feels broken. Kemoikein, so too, hanoi vohanocha, the groaning and sighing, im tedaktek uta'ayinbo, if you'll study it carefully, echinim sheches el hagoroim, how it comes into the throat, hi bebechinas toisef rucham, it's also an aspect of additional ruach, ki lefisho kalo ni toisef ruchoi, because for a few seconds, the person took in a huge amount of breath, v'kimat rega tigva v'teyosef, and then a short moment later, the person's broken. They're ready to fall down and crumble. V'hine mi shemisanech v'no alaveroi shebiyodoi v'roitze lo shebetshuva, a person who feels sincere remorse and regret over the sins they committed, the mistakes they made in their life, and the person really wants to repent, azai ba'anocha zu hu nigva v'nesaf min horasha biyodai, then that person dies, they disconnect, they make a complete disconnect and break from the evil that they were connected to, bibechinas toisef rucham yigvoyun. As the pasuk says, this additional ruach, this sighing, Yigvoyun, is experiencing a form of death. They're closing that chapter of their life completely. They're putting it to bed. They're putting it into the grave. They're burying it. V'nidbak el hakdusha. and they're becoming attached, they're forming a new connection to holiness. V'chein lehepach chas v'sholem. And the same thing is true in the opposite case. Mi sheno u'misaneich al ha'toiv shebiyodoi. A person who feels remorse and regret over the fact that for a certain part of their life they were religious, they were God-fearing, and they lived a good, pure life, and they regret that. They feel, they wish they would have spent their whole life free from religion and everything, chas v'sholem. V'roitze ledabek atzmei betuma. And the person wants to connect themselves to impurity, to sin, to a life that's totally devoid of religion. Azai nigva v'nesaf ruchay digdusha. Then that person is bearing their ruach of holiness, v'nidbak el atuma, and attaching themselves to this other ruach, this ruach of impurity. V'zehu, this is what the pasuk means when it says, yesh hevel, there is a vanity, true. The word hevel sometimes means vanity. But Rabbi Nachman interprets it here, yesh hevel, hainu ha-hevel peh, mehanoi v'hanocha, referring to the breath of the mouth, which is comes from this groaning and sighing, shehu no u'misaneach, where the person is moaning and groaning. And then the pasuk continues, yesh tzadikim shetoyhin al horishonois. There are righteous people that regret their former good deeds. Ve'yotzei hevel mipiyem mehanocha, and breath comes out of their mouth from this sighing. Umagi aleim kemaisa horishoyim, and that brings them to actions of wicked people. Ki nidbokin el asitra achra v'atuma, because they form a new connection and attachment to the other side, to impurity. V'yesh rishoyim, and there are people who lived a part of their life without religion and evil, committing all types of sins. Shenoyim u'manchim, where they're sighing and groaning. U'me'ahevel sheyoytzim bipiyem, and from the breath that comes out of their mouth, magi aleim kemaisa hatzadikim. This they achieve. They get to the actions of tzadikim. Kinifsokim mehatuma, they disconnect from the impurity, v'nidbokim el hakidusha, and they form a strong connection to holiness. V'haklal, Rabbi Nizal says, to summarize this, kies ze l'umase, always Hashem makes the two, good and bad, evil and good, opposite each other. V'tzorich lihiyos loichius michevel me'echod mishneim. A human being must draw life and energy from one of these ropes. He must attach himself, he must grab onto one of these ropes in order to live. V'tekev shehu nifsak michevel zeh, hu nitbak bechevel shekenegdoi. And the moment that the person lets go from one rope, he's attaching himself to the other rope. That's what we said before, like the Baal Shem Tov said, v'sartem, a person turns away from Hashem. They disconnect to a degree from Hashem. They are connecting to something else, chas v'sholem. Alkein, therefore, toiv lahargil es atzmoi lehisaneach al ma'asov she'enam toivim. It's very good for a person to train themselves to be in the habit of sighing over their mistakes, over the things they did that they realized were not good, were wrong. V'lichsoif ulehishtoikek b'toikef anchosoi loshuv l'Hashem Yisborach. And to combine that with a deep yearning, that sigh, not just leaving it at that, but using that to rebound from that into a deep yearning for an attachment to Hashem, to a closeness to Hashem, to return to Hashem. Because through the sighing, this sighing, it's not a little thing, it's a very big thing. It's like a sledgehammer that comes down and cuts that rope. That rope could be 6 inches thick or 6 feet deep. A person's sincere sighing slices through it like butter. Because through this sighing, nifsak mechevel de tuma, the person disengages completely from that rope of impurity, v'niskasher bechevel de kedusha, and becomes attached to the rope of holiness. It reminds me of the introduction to Likutei Moran, where Rav Nosson Zal wants to say how unique this Sefer is. Rav Nosson Zal says, Rabbi Nachman discussed things that you're not going to find in any other Sforim. Again, it's mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara mentions it as a one-liner. The Gemara says, Anocha breaks the body, and have a nice day. How does that relate? What am I supposed to do with that? A person has no idea. And Rabbi Nachman draws the curtain and reveals that this is an important facet of Avodas Hashem, of serving Hashem, of closeness to Hashem, that this can define where a person is. If a person is in a place of holiness, or the opposite. We just covered two of about five or six chapters of Likutei Moran that are devoted, that expound on this item, which if a person knows it, it's not so difficult. The Torah emphasizes, Loi b'shamayim hi, that coming close to Hashem, coming close to the Torah, and achieving holiness, sometimes people think it's only that a person thousands of years ago, today there's no such thing, it's impossible. And they don't know that the tzaddikim in each generation reveal to us secrets. They reveal chidushei Torah, new revelations in Torah, taking the same Gemara that people learned before and opening our eyes to be able to understand how this could be applied by small people like us today and can be a game changer, can make a world of difference. That once a person does this, he's disconnected. Person thinks that they have to climb hundreds of mountains, they have to go to Tibet, and they have to go there in order to achieve spirituality. And they don't know that they could do it in their own house by a sincere hispoiritus, a sincere tefillah, and applying this advice, the anocha and the ishtoikikus, this deep, deep sigh and a sincere expression from deep inside, from the heart, of regret and remorse for anything that I did wrong to any of my friends, my neighbors, any family members, or to Hashem, and expressing a deep yearning, wanting to be better, wanting to get close to Hashem, they have no idea that they're traveling millions of miles spiritually just by that alone. Rav Nosson Zal writes now, Oid motzosi miksav yad hachaveir meinyan zeh, I found additionally something written by my friends regarding this topic, and there it's explained a little bit more. Migoidel malas yikras ha'anocha dikdusha. How great and important is this holy sign? Kimavoyer shom, it's explained there. Sheho'anocha, shema'ane cha'odom alavinoisov, that the sighing, that a person sighs over their sins. Oy al miut hasogosoy, or a person feeling bad that they have such a limited understanding of Hashem, of Torah, who yoiser toiv mikama sigufim vetaniyos, is more effective than a person imposing all types of physical suffering, taking all types of physical suffering upon themselves, rolling in snow, other things that tzaddikim of the past used to do to torture themselves, to break the physical body. Vitanios and fasts. Person could think they're going to fast for 40 days, this, that, and they don't know that the tzaddik reveals a concentrated formula. There's a vitamin C tablet that a person can drink 100 glasses of orange juice and they're not going to get the same amount of vitamin C as this one tablet has. Ki betainis einoi meshaber rak haguf levad. Because it's true that a fast is a powerful thing. And again, Rabbi Nachman speaks about fasting in several chapters on Likutei Moran and explains the effectiveness of that and how special it is. But he tells us here that a fast only affects the body. It breaks the body. Avl ba'anocha meshaber kol haguf. But regarding this sighing, it breaks the entire body. Vegam machlif es hanefesh v'hachiyu shaloi meira l'toiv. And in addition, it transforms the person's soul and the person's life, their connection to life, from bad to good. Ki hahevel shel ha'odom hu hachevel hamekasher haneshoma l'mekoyim shorosho. Because a person's breath is the rope that attaches the soul to its source. L'toiv oy lehefech. Channel A or channel B? The good channel or the bad channel? U'kishem esamech. And when a person sighs, hu bebechinas toisef rucham yigvayun. It's an aspect of taking in this additional wind, this additional air, and passing out. Va'azai nifsak mehachevel shohi mekusha metchila. And by this, the person disconnects completely from the rope that they were attached to previously, v'niskasher lechevel acher, and they attach themselves to a different rope, kifi ho'anocha, based on what the sighing is expressing. If it's expressing a regret over the good things that I missed out on, or if it's expressing regret over the sins, the bad things, the kanal as we discussed earlier. Baruch Hashem. I hope this took this topic to another level completely in teaching us that this is a very important connection to Hashem. Any questions?
Thank you. That does explain a great deal of it. I was just wondering, there often are people, they certainly regret that they have done bad things or that they have whatever, but sometimes they spiral into just a depressive state because they blame themselves over and over and over. And there are, of course, people who never blame themselves at all, but the people who blame themselves, they somehow just become overwhelmed with this, oh, I've been so bad. I hope that's discussed somewhere else.
Definitely.
About how not sink into that.
Rabbi Nachman gives a very clear definition of the difference between Lev Nishbar and Atzvus. Lev Nishbar is the term broken heart, as we just used now. Atzvus is the term depression. And he says that they're positive and negative. They're two opposites. One is attached to optimism and hopefulness. Like we said before, it's broken spirit that immediately swings into deep yearning for uplift. It's not with a hopelessness. It's not with a pessimism. It's not saying never. I never was and never will be. That's not what we're talking about here. It's a genuine recognition of faults, but with an optimism that as bad as I am, Hashem is so good, He could overlook, He could correct everything. If I generated a deficit of 100 million, Hashem's got 100 trillion to match it. We talk about us doing damage, you know, damage, creating a deficit, a negative balance. Hashem has unlimited funds. And the tzaddikim have unlimited funds, unlimited bank accounts, to be able to correct and rectify. This is why it's extremely important in this Sefer, Likutei Moran, and when a person is learning Torah in general. A person cannot learn one chapter of Likutei Moran and say, okay, now I know. It doesn't work that way. This is a book. It's 400 pages. And it's very much connected and intertwined. Each piece, it's a piece of a puzzle. And you need to put all the pieces together. And it's possible, it's very possible. One of the mistakes that many people make is that they learn a chapter, they get excited about it, they take that chapter and run with it without showing significance to the chapter before and the chapter after. Rabbi Nachman speaks about happiness. There are people that think that Judaism is happiness, period, only happiness. And there's more to it than just that. There's other things to do and connect. See here also, he spoke about this aspect of Anocha, but he made it very clear that it's talking about a connect. We know that the Torah makes it clear that depression is a complete disconnect from Hashem. From Hashem, from holiness, from Torah, from Judaism, from everything. So that's not what he's referring to here. He's referring to broken heart that's definitely coming together with optimism, hopefulness, you know, and following the advice in the other chapters in Likutei Moran, being able to search for and find good points in yourself, being able to search and find the good in your situation. But again, it's not being a liar. It's not living in denial. We're not taught this, you know, some people think that, oh, Breslov teaches denial. The good points, what about the sins here? What about the bit? See, here we're being shown there is a recognition of fault. There is an acknowledgement of it, but we never stay there. The sigh is taking the deep breath in and then letting it out and being ready for new beginning. It's being done to make a new start, a fresh start.
Thank you.
Sure. Anyone else before we continue? The next chapter, Kuf Yud, 110, based on a pasuk in the beginning of Yehoshua, the prophet Yehoshua. lo yomush sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha. Don't ever allow this holy Torah book to leave your mouth. Always be speaking words of Torah. Rabbeinu Zal begins, ki haTorah hi ruchnius. The Torah is spiritual. Va'asher zach yosher pa'oloi. And a person whose actions are pure, v'sichloi ruchni, and his brain is spiritual, meaning he hasn't filled his brain with nonsense, yochoi litfois kol haTorah kula, that person is able to grasp the entire Torah, taking the entire Torah, v'lo yishkach dovor, and not forget any of it. Ki dovor ruchni, einoi toifeis mokoim, because something spiritual doesn't take up any space. V'yecholah haTorah lehispashet v'lishkoim b'sichloi, and therefore that he can take in Torah into his brain and fill it with more Torah and more Torah, so it's expanding further and further, and still be able to stay in that same brain. Ach mi shehu megashim divrei Torah, whereas a person who causes the words of Torah to become materialistic, to become physical, v'oise mimenu mamoshus, he turns it into something tangible, meaning, again, he lowers it from spiritual. He considers it like, I study mathematics, I study chemistry, and I'm studying Torah. It's another form of knowledge. I study secular law and Torah law. Azai yeshlo shiur v'kitzba. Kamo hu yochel litfois besichle v'lo yisir. Then suddenly, the Torah takes on a whole different aspect where it has limitations. How much the person can take into his brain, only so much and no more. Meaning, it's going to occupy space. V'myirtze lahasig yoiser, and if he'll want to absorb more Torah knowledge, azai yidoche ma shekvar nichnas besichloi, it'll push out the knowledge that he already attained previously. Kederech kol dovor gashmi, like any physical thing, a person has a bookcase or something. Imhu kvar moli, if the bookcase is full, im yimalenu yoiser, if he tries to push in more books, yidchem ashir bo kvar, it'll push out some of the books that are there. Umize bo hashikcha, and this is what causes forgetting. This is what causes a person to forget Torah that they've studied. V'zehu, and therefore, Rabbi Nachman offers another interpretation, another translation of the word yomush. Yomush means to leave, and yomush also means lo yomush sefer Torah, yomush miloshen mamoshus. The word yomush is also similar to the word mamoshus, which means physical, taking up physical space. Kemoshe kosuv, as it says that when Hashem issued the plague of darkness in Egypt, it was a thick darkness. You could feel the darkness. It was tangible. Kloimar, so what the Pasuk is telling us here, lo yomush sefer haTorah mipicha, hi zoher sheloi tihye mamoshus vegashmius bedivrei haTorah. Be careful to see to it that the words of Torah that you're studying should not be physical. They shouldn't be materialistic in a sense. Meaning, don't treat them without showing them the proper respect, understanding that this is divine knowledge. This is not like any other knowledge that a person studies. Mipicha, and how could this happen? From your mouth. Kloimar, meaning, machmas picha, because it's coming out of your, machmas sheyotze meitcha, because the words are coming out of your mouth, yihielo mamoshus vegashmius, it'll become physical. Tizor mize, be careful about that. Meaning, because of the fact that you are not leading any type of spiritual life, you're not working on improving yourself, making yourself into a healthy, proper, kosher human being and Jew, and following the devotions of the Torah, and yet you want to try to achieve its knowledge. You want to try to read it and study it like you would study chemistry or biology or anything else. It doesn't work that way. And this is why our rabbis tell us, Shehisano Rav Yosef Arboim Yoim Sheyiskayim Limudoi. The Gemara says that Rav Yosef, who was one of the great rabbis of the Gemara, he was the rabbi of Abaye. He fasted for 40 days in order to retain his Torah, in order for the Torah to be retained by him. And the Gemara says, sure enough, it worked. Then he fasted another 40 days for the Torah to be retained by his children, that his children should also remain devoted to Torah, study Torah and devoted to it. And the Gemara says that his fast worked again. Then he fasted a third set of 40 days. And the Gemara says, then a voice from heaven came out and announced that from this point on, the Torah will never leave your family for generations and generations. All the generations that will come from you will be attached to, connected to, and loyal to the Torah. And the voice from heaven said this pasuk, Lo yomush sefer haTorah zeh mipicha umipi zaracha umipi zera zaracha ad olam. That the Torah will never leave you, your children, your grandchildren, forever. So Rabbi Nezal says, Kloimar, shelo yomushu v'yegushmu mipicha. Another way of looking at this is, again, that the Torah shouldn't be made physical by your mouth. V'azah yiskayim talmudoi. And then your studies will endure. Ki lo yiyeh shikcha. You will not suffer from forgetting. Ki davar ruchani einoi toifes mokoim. Because something spiritual does not take up any space. V'doik. And consider this very, very carefully. Take this very seriously. We know that this topic of remembering and forgetting is discussed in many places in the Torah. And the Gemara gives certain advice on how to remember what a person learns. The Gemara says if a person reviews it 100 times, until 100, it's still possible to forget. But 101 times, he'll retain it. And there are many different interpretations of that. But here, Rabbeinu Zal is telling us, again, another form of advice as to how a person could be zeiche to take their study of Torah to another level, where no matter how much they learn, they're not limited. They're not limited. They can take on more and more and reach higher and higher levels. And this can explain how we see the great tzaddikim, the Arizal, other tzaddikim. The Arizal passed away before he was 40 years old. A person looks at what he taught, and a person would say, it's not possible in physical life for a person to attain such levels of knowledge. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit into this. And the answer is, you're 100% correct. It was because the person went beyond physical. The person lived with divine. The person elevated himself. He understood that the Torah isn't physical, it's not another form of secular knowledge like you have knowledge in the world, it's something totally different. And in order for a person to really benefit from it properly, a person has to devote themselves, like we saw in one of the previous shurim. It requires improving one's thoughts and actions, being careful about what one takes into a person's mind to keep their brain clean, and again, to keep their actions on the right track, to try to connect to spirituality, and to show the proper respect for Torah. Person studying Torah in a manner that's not respectful, again, they're showing, they don't realize what this is. They don't realize that they're making it physical, so they'll follow the rules of physical things, chas v'shalom. Any questions? Three words. Roish b'nei Yisroel. And in fact, we had this was last week's Parsha. Ki siso es roish b'nei Yisrael. When you will raise the heads of the Jewish people. Rabbi Nachman says that the words roish b'nei Yisrael, the heads of the Jewish people, roshei tevois rebbi. The first letters make up the word rebbi, rabbi. A true rabbi is the head of the Jewish people, the brain and the eyes, especially, of the Jewish people. Ulehefech, and the opposite of that, chas v'shalom, a person who's the wrong type of rabbi, reshoim b'choshech yidomu. There's a pasuk that says that wicked people will be silent in darkness. Roshei tevois rebbi. The first letters of those three words also make up the word rabbi. To know that there are two kinds of rabbis, there are two kinds of leaders in the Jewish people. There are proper leaders. The Gemara says, "Hachacham einav b'roishoy." A truly wise person has his eyes and his head, meaning he uses his eyes. He uses chachma of kedusha. That's referring to true leaders. And the Zohar Kodesh, in several places, speaks about the Erev Rav, the Erev Rav, who were the ones who misled the Jews time and time again when they were in the desert. They misled the Jews to make a golden calf. They misled the Jews to commit all kinds of treason against Hashem, against Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Zohar HaKadosh says this is a problem that the Jews suffer with throughout all generations, but especially towards the end. As we get closer to the coming of Moshiach, there's a pasuk in Eicha that says, Hoyu tzorecho l'roish. Their enemies became their leaders. And unfortunately, this is referring to the reform, conservative types of supposed people that the secular world or the non-Jewish world sometimes thinks that these are the leaders of the Jewish people, leaders of major organizations that are called Jewish organizations. And yet again, they can serve pork on Yom Kippur at their annual dinner, that kind of thing. They have no respect at all for authentic Judaism. They've invented their own form of Judaism. They've renamed, reformatted completely Judaism to something totally different from the definition that Hashem has given us through the Torah. And this is one of the greatest tragedies, you know, in the Jewish people. This is what has put us into the situation that we're in today, where even though we have two trains going, we have one train, we have thousands of Balei Tshuva, Baruch Hashem, every year, new people coming back to Hashem, returning to Hashem, becoming religious, becoming more religious, youth, and in many cases, the youth bringing their parents back. As it says, V'heshiv le'vovo yisalbonim, but unfortunately, that represents maybe 5 or 10% of the big picture. The big picture is that 70 or 80% of Jews are unfortunately disconnected, are either unaffiliated or involved in reform, conservative, reconstruction, all kinds of other names that they've given, and assimilating, marrying out of the religion, and again, supposed rabbis, women rabbis, and all kinds of things, condoning and performing weddings with non-Jews, with men and men, all kinds of absurd things, putting a label of Jewish on it, chas v'shalom, rachmona litzlan. And here Rabbi Nachman makes it very clear to be aware that again, there are these two choices, and a person searching for a rabbi has to make sure that this is an authentic, qualified Roish B'nai Yisrael, one who's qualified to lead the Jews in light, not chas v'shalom in darkness. There's another pasuk. Reb Nachman Chirin, one of the commentators on Likutei Moran, says that he heard from his father that in one of the holy svarim, the Sefer HaKoneh, he brings that when the Torah speaks about one of the sons of Yehuda who committed the sin of wasting seed, he didn't want his wife to become pregnant, he didn't want it to mar her beauty. So he wouldn't allow her to become pregnant. The Torah says, "Vayehi er ra be'enei Hashem." He was evil in the eyes of Hashem. The words "ra be'enei Hashem," the first letters of the words "ra be'enei Hashem," spell the word rabbi. And unfortunately, you know, we have those types also. People who have the audacity, they've had the audacity to take that title upon themselves, when they are, in truth, the furthest thing possible from taking on that holy title upon themselves. Any questions or comments before we close? Want to wish everybody a wonderful week and a good month. We're going into the second Adar, a whole new level of Simcha, the holiday of Purim, leading into Nisan, which is the month of the celebration of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hashem should show all of us the individual and collective Yeshuas and Refuas that all of us need, Mitzvah Shem. All the best.
Okay.
Sure. All the best.
Thank you, Rav Maimon.
Gladly. All the best.
Thank you.